StreetActionBatteries.com.
Hey, I think we might get some silly football in college tonight. The Raging Cajuns are at Arkansas State, and then we have UCLA at Stanford.
Ooh.
It just feels like kind of game where anything can happen. UCLA's 1-5, Stanford's 3-3. More surprising, UCLA is 1-5 in Chip Kelly's second year, or David Shaw's 500 through six games. Put it on the poll, George. Let's welcome in, and maybe we'll get some insight in what he's having for his pregame meal, Damon Benning. Where are you at?
Well, I'm just getting, I'm trying these Wagyu, this Wagyu brisket.
Okay.
Michael and I took a quick trip out to Tired Texan. I got it to go to see what all the hubbub is.
You will not be disappointed. Are you a first timer? You're a Tired Texan virgin?
I've only been once, and it was at well over maybe when it first opened. So this Wagyu brisket kind of got my attention. So it has been at least 2 years.
You won't be disappointed, trust me. So there's a lot of sticking with that. There's a lot of disappointment around, as you know. I mean, we get to do this for 20 hours a week, so we know what it's like. Knowing what you know now, would 7-5 be a successful season?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Remember, and you're one of the few, because I was talking to you every day, where I told you I thought 8 would be really, really good, only because they would have doubled the win total from a year ago, which that's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
But I think 7 would absolutely be successful, because that means that you probably won a game that somebody didn't think you were going to win of what's remaining, number one. But number two, it continues to show progress, especially if you measure it from where you think people are right now.
So now moving forward, and a discussion has been how to create big plays. Is it more let playmakers make plays or scheme playmakers into being able to make plays?
I think he's kind of out of, no, I won't say out of, but to be able to introduce anything new in terms of schematics, I'm not sure how, you know, positive that would be. But what I could see him doing is some of the early installs of stuff, whether it's the looks from the RPO game or some of the personnel packages that I think he thought was going to come to fruition by now that hasn't, I think maybe you settle on. Like, you roll the dice. If you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, going into the season, I like Ramir with here, and I envision Wandell going here, and I'm going to put, you know, Chase out here. And, gosh, when I was recruiting these guys on paper, that looked like it should be blank. He may be to the point where he wants to do that, right? Where it's still within the concept of what you wanted to do, but maybe those guys haven't developed the way that you've thought. Because he's kind of at a little bit of a, what do you call it? It's not even a conundrum. He has to either He either has to move on from what he thought they were going to be this year, or relax a little bit from his own personal or his own personality standpoint, where he has to have absolute trust in something before he turns it over to you. One of those two things has to give, because, you know, it's always about earning his trust. Mm-hmm. If I trust you, you can do this. If I don't, I mean, you know how he is, whether it's information, the guys that he recruits, the guys that he works with. He's either going to have to let go of some of that or allow a little more on-the-job training where guys are going to make some mistakes, but they turn out to be who you thought they were when you were recruiting them.
All right, let's talk about Mo Washington, because since the Big Ten has started, 30 touches, 152 yards, less than two touches per game than he had last year. Moving forward, regardless of what happens today, speaking of trust, all of the trust that the head coach and his position coach have put in him, at some point he has to validate their trust. Is there any part, is there any part, do you think, looking ahead to 2020, and you're looking with the mindset that Mo Washington's going to be part of your program in 2020, Do you test him out at wide receiver in the last 5 weeks to see if that's an option, knowing that you're going to have a extremely full running back room next year and you still need some help with wide receiver when you're looking at your 2020 roster?
Gosh, I'm not so sure you don't look at it the other way, where you kind of tighten the screws a little bit in terms of what you're asking off the field as well as on the field in terms of regimen, and see if you can't get a little more consistency that way, knowing what you just said. You're going to have a full running back room next year, and you've got a dearth of young wide receivers in that room, where it's not quite pee or get off the pot.
Mm-hmm.
But I get the sense, and we would never know this out loud because I'm speculating. I just get the sense this whole Mo Washington thing has taken on a life of its own off the field. And it's kind of bled into what they're doing because it's become exhausting.
Yep.
In terms of the day-to-day and what's the latest and where are we with this and, well, he didn't respond well to this. That's just too much. And I think at some point you have to ask yourself, one of my famous things, is the juice worth the squeeze? So I don't think they go out of their way to invest more. I think you may actually see them tighten it up a little bit to see what they get out of it.
Hey, why do you think attention to detail is so hard with this team?
You know, that's the $64,000 question. Now, I have a couple of things I think you could do where if you feel like, listen, whether it's backside run fits or guys can't think under duress or, you know, they kind of pucker up when they're stressed, you can try to simulate those scenarios as best you can, whether it's practice tempo, whether it's kind of turning up the hot seat when you don't perform well, you find somebody else replacing you, or you can slow practice down the other way and say, listen, I know when we're running competition squad and we're trying to show you Minnesota's outside zone, you guys, because you're better than this offensive line, you defeated at the point of attack, you don't really get a chance to see where or how cutback lanes open up, or, you know, when Minnesota puts Tyler Johnson in the slot and we go to cover three, what that means for JoJo Doman as the number two defender, potentially having to run with Tyler Johnson. Like, you have to show those things in practice, or and film study, talk best and worst case scenario. So you can overdo the fine, not overdo, mm-hmm. but you can accentuate the stressors. Okay. When we're operating well, this is what it looks like. But the counterpoint to this is this. So then that's what you work on. It's not chasing ghosts. It's giving yourself a contingency plan. Or you can go the other way and shrink it a little and get more finite with how much attention you pay to detail on the field. Like, I mean, yeah. For instance, stopping an outside zone run play, you know, before you go back to the huddle and run the next play and say, okay, listen, on backside, you're here. With cue responsibilities, you're here. When you get down to dive, you're here. If this happens, then you do this, where you coach more on the field as opposed to on the fly. But one thing you know for sure, G-Funk, is if you want to get better sifting through the minutiae and sorting through the details, you can't keep doing what you've yeah. been doing through the first seven games because it hasn't yielded you the results that you wanted it to in terms of how you're going about practice.
So speaking of practice, it was Let's Get Back to Basics week, and they'll finish up the week tomorrow, practice three times this week. What would have been, or what do you think, is the first thing they started on Tuesday morning working on? If you're going in with the mindset that, fellas, we're spending the week off, we're not necessarily taking the week off because we can't, we're going to go with basics, this is the first thing we're doing, you think it would be what?
I'll give you one on each side of the ball. For defense, I think it's alignment. And I know you're like, oh gosh, how do they not know how to get lined up correctly? Well,
which is crazy, which is wild to say this far into the season.
Well, watch them get lined up sometimes pre-snap. Because what do teams do? Remember, they got markers and dry erase boards too. Nebraska plays a ton of man.
So what do? Pre-snap. You move. You shift. Mm-hmm. You get window dressing. So there has to be a lot of pre-snap communication for Nebraska. Sometimes when there's a lot of or too much or not enough pre-snap communication, guys are late getting lined up. So I think you go right back to the basics. Everybody knows about ATP, right, the energy deal. Well, there's this thing called AAT, where it's alignment, assignment, and technique. That's getting lined up correctly. What's my assignment? Then what's my technique to pull this off? The defense will start there. On offense, it is back to basic personnel packages. Stop trying to be so multiple within the same skill set of guys, like in terms of personnel, mm-hmm. like using the same 11 guys, and sometimes we're in 11, or sometimes we're in 12, or it's getting back to personnel groups. Hey, when we're in 10 personnel, these are my guys. When we're in 12, these are my guys. And staying with it that way, so guys don't have to learn multiple things within the same subset. The other thing is being better at the point of attack, where if I'm an offensive lineman, I get back to learning to use my hands correctly, good play site calls, using proper technique with my footwork while I'm punching. I mean really going back to fall camp stuff, because I think those are some of the things that you've taken for granted. You wouldn't expect to see Trent Hickson on a pass set not use his hands and already being engaged by a defense. Mm-hmm. Like those are, and it's not an indictment of Trent Hickson, because I think he's he's got the ability to be a fantastic player. I'm just saying when you see that live or for the first time, you're like, I know we've progressed past that. You know yeah. what I mean? Yeah. Or allowing a guy to play across your face, like we've seen happen with Farniok, where, hey, listen, if I'm supposed to step with my left foot and cut this guy off, let's get back to taking proper angles so I can have good hand placement and get my head on the right side. I mean, little things like that.
Which is attention to detail that continues to shoot this team in their own foot. I'm going to go back to lining up on defense. Isn't that primarily on the linebackers? The middle, a guy like Mo Berry to align guys? Because it seems like we hear when things start going south in a game like Saturday night, the communication from the linebackers to the guys in front of them to even on the back end seems to get missed in the chain of command.
Yeah, so on the third level, like if you're in the secondary, there's usually your guy. He makes the calls. Somebody has to bounce the calls. So the strong may talk to the free. Those guys relay the calls to the corners. From the linebacking spot, you'd like for your linebackers to kind of set that tone because they can only see what's in front of them. They can't usually see what's behind them. So you like a couple of different calls there. What I think is happening, and again, it's one of those things where you say it out loud and you're like, come on, man. But you know what I think is pretty hard for players? To talk and move at the same time, right? Like go ask a corner or a linebacker, like in the middle of a play when he's either in his drop or his back pedal, to like give an end call mm-hmm. at the same time. Or to be in your back pedal and say, hey, wheel, 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 rub, rub, rub. Like, you just don't see it a ton because I think people have a hard time doing it. Now, multiply that times 10. A team breaks the huddle. They give you motion. You're trying to scramble and get set up, and you're trying to communicate your checks at the same time. Yep. It's like doubling down on the stress level. And it's not to say that what Nebraska is doing, in my opinion, is too complicated. Like, you should be able to know, hey, if they're in a 3-by-1 and you get motion from the number 3, that's just 2-by-2. What would we normally do in a 2-by-2? Is this a play it? Are we in banjo? Is this clap? You know, like whatever mm-hmm. the language is.
Yep.
But what's happening is with the shifts and the personnel package and trying to be multiple within the same subgroup, I still think conceptually Nebraska's a little confused. Like, what's the difference if Mo is on the weak side and Mo comes out of the game and they play JoJo Doman? The concepts should still be the same, even though Nebraska's in a nickel package. Like, how does the weak side play it? Or if it's Honus. Or let's say you move, your strong safety into the box. Okay, he's basically the third linebacker.
Yep.
What would the third linebacker normally be doing if he gets full flow to him or it's run game away? Like, the concepts shouldn't be that difficult. the translation when it's a new body or a new face seems to be a little bit of a struggle.
All right, you also have a busy day. I'll miss you tonight out at Deja Vu, but you get to see Bellevue West up close and personal. Mr. Betts, Mr. Glantz, Mr. Ducker, on and on and on. So I want to read you something. I told you this earlier. I was looking at a preview of this game in the Bellevue Leader and their little game capsule. This shouldn't be any more than a tune-up game for Bellevue West as they are getting ready for the playoffs to start.
Well, I mean, hey, it's just one person's opinion. And I'll be honest with you, right? Are we talented? Absolutely. Have we underachieved to some degree? Yeah. Are we pretty battle-tested with our schedule? Yes. Well, we have to probably catch a few breaks tonight in order to pull this off? Yes. But to think we're nothing more than a tune-up? I can't get done. But listen, when you got an Ull, you got a Sullivan, and you got a Keegan Johnson, and you got a Glantz, and a Ducker, and a Betts, and a TJ Griffin. I mean, those guys are loaded. And it is PlayStation-esque. But at the end of the day, I just keep telling myself, you can't make it about who they are. It has to be about who we're trying to be. And as long as we keep focused on that, I mean, the bells and whistles are just going to be bells and whistles. We just hope that there's some sort of a train that's on the tracks and we can keep it moving.
Hey, am I crazy? I'm not going to say crazy because I've watched a couple of full Bell West games of their number one offense being on the field. But I think Xavier Betts on the field is better than he was last year. More engaged, less taking plays off, and more fighting for balls and fighting for extra yardage. Am I off on that?
There's no question about it. He is dialed it up a notch on the field. He's been much better, I think, off the field. You know, my wife, Jay, has got him a good share of the time. I think senior year, chance to get another state championship, chance to get eligible to go to school, kind of listening to the critics and the naysayers about what you aren't, has really motivated him. You look at Ducker on the field from this year to last year. For a guy that's got 86 total touchdowns in his career, which is nothing short of staggering, is better than he was a year ago.
Yep.
That offensive line, better than they were a year ago. Keegan Johnson's impact defensively, better than it was a year ago. It is a well-oiled machine, man, that continues to be on the come.
Hey, one quick other thing, since George doesn't engage in high school football talk as much as you do. what should people know? Because I was like, whoa, this is a good move by Nebraska to offer the youngster from Burke a scholarship last week.
Yeah, I tell you, they're right on the come, aren't they? It's like,
well, quietly, they've had a pretty good year that not a lot of people are talking about, the defending champs.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like they only have they lost? I can't even remember. Are they 8-7-1, 6-1?
6-1.
That's a really good football team. And you know what I think has served them well? It's the only team that I can remember the very next year that has a Power 5 guy actually fly under the radar. No one in the Metro talks about Burke. And you know Coach Lamangi.
Yeah.
He's not bringing any attention on himself. You've got Millard West emergence and their defensive dominance. You've got the high-flying act of Bell West. Most people thought Millard South was the most complete Millard team coming into this one. Shoot, all Burke's had to do is sit back and play football and let everything else sort itself out. But quietly, that's a really well-rounded football team.
Yeah, and Devin Jackson getting that offer, that's a little inkling into Nebraska's future, what they're thinking about, where he'll be in a couple of years.
They're going to be a really good player.
Yeah, and you know, another thing here in the Metro this year, because I'm going to see him, we have Millard South in prep tomorrow night, also being quiet, two quietly really good, solid high school running backs that are seniors, Jalen Roussel at Burke, and then Isaiah Harris at Millard South.
Yeah, Jalen Roussel, one of my favorite non-North Vikings, like, fantastic kid, kind of battled some nicks, a few injuries. an amazing guy. He works as hard off the field as he does us. He stays in the gym getting his body right. And then Isaiah Harris is arguably an underappreciated piece as there is on that football team. We've heard about Purchill and is he healthy, or T.J. Urban and what a tough competitor he is, and outside with Taylor and his speed and Holberschreimer, how steady he is. It's like, hey, wait a minute. They got this guy that is kind of the crux of what they do, and you can hand him the rock and things take care of themselves. A lot how I feel about Ducker and Bell West is a lot how I feel about Harris and Millard South. You can talk about a lot of other things, but they're the two guys on their respective teams that if you cannot stop those two guys, you cannot win. There's not another guy on either team that you could say the same thing about.
Well, I'll miss you tonight out of Deja Vu, but tonight's game between North and Bell West is on TV. So when there's TV games, you have a tendency to get in front of the camera. So I'm sure I'll see plenty of you.
Do I even know where those guys are?
I know you too well.
I'm just telling you, man. The special teams and adjusters and the occasional cheerleader, man. I'm going to try to stay out of harm's way.
Hey, good luck tonight.
Hey, thanks, man. Have a great rest of the show.
That's Damon Benning. Joins me every Thursday. You hear him from 6 to 10 every weekday right here on The Zone. North and Bellevue West meeting tonight down in Bellevue. That game is on TV for all of you. 11:49, Local Music Thursday. We'll catch up on some emails and some tweets on the 90-50-10 game. 90% that you're pretty certain that this will happen before the season is over or during this season in the second half. 50% you think it might happen, and 10% you can't see it happening. 90% I am 90% certain this will happen. 50% I think I might feel this way, or 10% I can't see this happening in the season that has five games left in it over the next 7 weeks. All right, about halfway through, Brian Munson coming up at 1:30 to catch up on some Cruton. See if Nebraska coaches are out and about in state this weekend. With the bye week upcoming. 11:49 is the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone. All right, we've been telling you about Best Buys, and right now you should probably be heading there for lunch. And you're thinking, okay, tell me about what I can go in there for lunch. If I was going there right now, you know how I feel today, George? If I was going to 78th and Dodge and I was going to Best Buys.
What you getting?
I'd do salad bar today.
Ooh.
You know, it's tough to find a good salad bar. I found a good salad bar at Best Buys. And then I probably would go... I might throw in a shake, might throw in some fries, and then the next thing you know, I got a Best Bison double.
And then how about trying that bison chili? Temperatures are getting kind of cold right now, so why not try the bison chili? And then they also have, if you go in, you get an entree, how about a free scoop of E-Creamery apple crisp ice cream? They've got that going on at Best Bison right now. You're not going to lose the taste by saving on some calories, Gary.
Hey, the place is hip. It's clean. They don't just throw a sign on the side of the building that says absolutely delicious or half the calories of a beef hamburger. No, you don't have to worry about that. You want to eat well, you want to eat healthy, and you want to enjoy it. Best Bison is the place to go. Open for lunch right now.